And I think oftentimes in technology, sometimes all we need is that one person to make that chair a little bit easier or to weed whack something so that way we can walk and enjoy the view. And I think that in women in tech community allows you to lead where others have already trekked and also track your own path as you kind of go and grow through your career.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back to Tech Less. I'm your host, April Rest, and today we get to chat with Anna Schaefer. She is passionate about two things: leveraging technology to make insurance more fun and fostering the supportive community for women in technology. As a product manager at Neon, an innovative insurtech platform running on Salesforce, and a co-lead of the Acron Women in Tech group, she's able to live out both of her passions in service of others. So, Anna, for starters, in case anyone isn't quite sure what this is, what is a Women in Tech group?
Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me. Women in Tech group at its core is a supporting community where people can get together and lead and follow. I'm a huge hiker, and the way that I kind of look at like a whole journey in life is that sometimes when you're on a trail, you can't help but to think like, okay, how did I get here? Who discovered this trail? Who was the one that first trekked it so we could enjoy it? And I think oftentimes in technology, sometimes all we need is that one person to make that trail a little bit easier or to weed whack something so that way we can walk and enjoy the view. And I think that in women in tech community allows you to lead where others have already trekked and also track your own path as you kind of go and grow through your career.
Oh, I love this metaphor. I want to be a weed whacker, and I also want to just go on the nicely smooth trail for me.
So sometimes you're the Sherpa and sometimes you're hiking with the pack. And I think that's okay. And having that flexibility to, even if it's just, okay, somebody, paved the way 80% of the way there, they've already solved that for you. Now you only need to worry about that 20%. And that makes things a little bit easier. And it's easier to also build off of things where people have done it before and can be in your corner and can be the leader that you need them to be, but also follow behind if you need some help.
I love this. I love this. And how long have you been the co-lead of this group?
Yeah, so it's actually fairly new. It just last, I believe, October or September, I got the opportunity and I was super excited. So I was like, yes, like it was perfect timing and everything that I've been kind of going through my career. So it's fairly new, but I'm really excited to be part of the group.
Oh, I love this. And why, when you said it was, I think the perfect or a great opportunity, what about it was exciting for you? Why did you want to take on that, that opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to take you back in time a little bit here.
Yeah.
I think it's important to know, like, let's rewind the time back a little bit. So when we first came over here, we being my family and I didn't, speak the language. They didn't speak the language. But what they were going through is they were focusing on being developers. So as a young kid, I remember my parents used to always go to these developer courses at night. And it always would be like one night was English courses and next night was developer courses. And they toted me along because we didn't have anybody to watch me or anything like that. And the teachers were always super nice about like, hey, you can be here, just be quiet and they'll be disruptive. And at that point, I remember being like underneath the desk and like reading through these books. And at that moment, I was like, okay, technology is going to be a big part of my life regardless, because I almost learned kind of technology terms at the same time as learning English and how to interact with others and things like that. And then kind of fast forward, I started my first role, and at that time, it was a technology focused role at CVS, and I didn't really pay attention to who was in the room. Like, I was just so excited about doing something I loved and being able to start this journey of like, okay, I know all these things and I'm so, passionate about being in the tech space. I didn't look around and I didn't have time to, right? And around that time, my first couple of years in the industry, I had a boss that she was amazing. She kind of took me under her wing, not really in a formal mentorship, but she just kind of made sure I was in all the rooms. She made sure that she mentioned my name when I wasn't in the room or brought me into the projects. And while our time was short-lived because she moved on, immediately into a different role, I didn't realize how valuable that was for me in my career. And so once I kind of like lost her, I didn't really have any formal mentors, and I was just kind of navigating the space by myself, failing a lot, learning a lot. But kind of looking back at it now, this is about 10 years later, I was like, wow, she made such a big impact on my life that I didn't even realize was happening in that moment. And I struggled a lot, trying to figure out my way. And I'm a big believer in if you have somebody that's done it before, they can save you 40 steps. They can save you 100 steps. They can save you all these lessons that you learn. And realizing and putting all that together now, that's what allowed me to be excited about being able to potentially do that for other people. Like, I love talking about goals. I love talking about people and being part of their journeys. Like, it's almost like watching somebody grow into who they want to be. And I think that's very, very exciting for me. So that's really why I want to be a co-lead. And being able to do it in a Salesforce space is even more incredible, right? That's my other passion. So putting all that together really just kind of completes that circle of that chapter, which was my learning chapter. And now I'm in the giving back chapter.
Oh, I love this. And I have to know what country is your family from?
Yeah, so it's now what's known as Ukraine. Back when we moved here, I think it was kind of, who knows what they were calling them back then. But yes, it's Ukraine, which is actually really funny because just the dynamic of anybody that kind of knows how it is. So my dad's of Russian descent, my mom's of Ukrainian descent. So you can only imagine how fun those parties are, because it's, they're very close together. But yeah, we moved here to the United States from Ukraine.
And how old were you?
Five-ish, I think it was like right around four or five-ish. So it was really early on, very formidable years, but it was definitely very early on.
Wow. It's just so interesting to hear your story. And also that you knew at such a young age that technology was going to be such a big part of your life, or maybe part of your career. I think probably most of us understand that technology is going to be a big part of our life because we're living in the 21st century. But I don't know. I think almost everybody else I've met in the Salesforce ecosystem has said, "Oh, I've fallen into tech."
I mean, I kind of fell. I guess like I didn't really have, not, I wouldn't say I didn't have any choices, but I think for me, I still remember the first day my mom brought home this giant Compaq. Like, this thing was bigger than the tiny little apartment we were like living in. And because they were in that space, they had to have a computer. I mean, this is early on. This is not when people had computers like readily available. They were the size of like, I mean, a whole coffee table. And I still have photos of me just sitting there, like with my hands on the keyboard and just like messing around with things. And that's, my mom was like, you are going to work in technology. I know it. Even though they were like, hey, do you want to really follow our path? You've seen how hard we've worked. It's all this. And I'm like, yeah, I absolutely want to do that. So I think I knew early on it was a passion of mine. Did I really know it was going to make, me a career out of it? I think I probably found that out a little bit later on because I was never really scared of tech, where people around me were kind of scared of, typing in computer class in high school or anything like that. For me, I was a little bit more confident in that sector than I was even like being out in like public speaking, for example, or doing other things that I wasn't as comfortable doing.
That makes total sense. Okay. Well, thank you for allowing me to go down that rabbit hole for a minute. I'm just always curious of people's backgrounds and upbringings. But bringing it back to your Women in Tech group, I'm curious what challenges or maybe what topics are top of mind for the women in your group. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the normal suspects, it's imposter syndrome, unnecessary roles or feedback based on being a certain gender or being a certain type of person. I think one thing it's, I guess two things that are unique. The first thing is being in a leadership position, the lack of visibility in decision-making processes. I think that I've experienced this where women are often kind of forgotten about in that decision-making process, because oftentimes those decisions happen somewhere else that's not the office. So for example, you have all your leaders that are happen to be golfers, and they don't even think to invite you because they're like, oh, okay, we're out golfing. Then you next thing you know, they come back to the office, they're like, hey, we've solved all these issues, like here you go. And you're like, oh, well, I would like to be part of that conversation. Like, I would love to understand what has happened. I think that's one of the things that is kind of unique, because it's not that we're being left out on purpose. At least I don't like to think so. But I think that just some of the places that decisions are made are not always inclusive for a woman to be going there outside of work. I think it's one of the things. And kind of double back on that, one thing I've always strived for is I just want to be treated like an equal. I don't want better treatment. I don't want less than treatment. I just want to be treated like I'm a person, regardless of gender or what you want to identify yourself as or anything else. And comments like, oh, I'm not going to use sports analogies. There's women's sports analogies. If there's women in the room, that's too much of a blanket statement for me. Because I love sports. I watch football. I watch F1 and NASCAR. I work on vehicles in my spare time, or I used to. And so I think it's an unfair bias assumption just put on people to say, hey, if there's a woman in the room, don't use sports analogies. I would like for it to just be like, how about you get to know me first? Like, how do I get to know people? And it's like, hey, what are your hobbies? Who are you outside of this 9 to 5? And that way I can tailor the communication to things that resonate with you. I don't want to just assume that men like sports and women like gardening. It could be true, but I like both. So is that okay? Like, is that allowed? And I think that's a big thing too, that some of the things that are not as talked about is the need for equality, but just equality as people, not so much like men and women.
Ugh. Well, and I think that I'm like, oh, I might gain some followers. I might lose some followers from this next statement. But I think that's what a lot of like feminist theory is missing. There's like all sorts of different waves of feminist theory. Some are like really elevating the woman. I subscribe to the belief that feminism for me is like the humanity aspect, the person aspect that like lets not even that we're all equal, but like we should have equitable opportunities. Because I don't, anyway, I don't want to get too off track with my thoughts on equality, but anyway, my point is exactly like you're saying with looking at someone as a person, because I think, and I would love to hear your perspective on this, I think that's something that we as women miss sometimes, is that like we want to be treated, we want to like have the same respect, we want to be brought into the same conversations, we want to be valued for our brains, not our body, all these different things. But do we really give the space for men to be treated and to be viewed differently than you need to be strong, you need to be masculine, you need to be action oriented? And so I just think it's curious. Like, we don't need to go down that track. We can if you want. We don't need to. But I just think it's curious when we think about like women in technology and this group. It's like, how can this movement extend beyond women and raise us all up as humans? I don't know the answer. I just think this is a fun question to ponder.
Yeah, and I think that that's one thing that I've learned about this women in technology group is that the prerequisite is not being a woman to join. We have men join all the time as supporters because they want to learn how to be better, how to be advocates. So many times that I, share that there is a women in tech group in this area, there's people that are like, "Hey, can I come or can my son come?" Like, I think it's important for them to learn about some of the things that you guys are facing because they don't know. Like, we can't expect men to be mind readers. We can't expect anybody to be a mind reader, men, women, whatever. Nobody's a mind reader. So unless you bring these topics to the forefront and give people space to try to work through them with you, you're just going to be complaining the whole time and there's not going to be any traction there. And I think one thing too, kind of to your point about people being treated as people, is a lot of things that are not focused on is men's feelings and the kind of the opposite of that, where it's like men, like, well, we are putting, biases on gender and all that. On the other side of things is there, we're not giving a lot of space for men to have feelings and be a little bit more open and not have to be like that strong macho guy all the time and figure things out. And I think that if there's a nice way that we can all come together and just be like, we're all people. We are not perfect, but how do we support ourselves in that journey that we're on when we need it, regardless of our gender or where we come from or what language we speak?
It's so true. It's so true. Because I'm gonna dig us out of rabbit hole for 1 minute. Last night I totally invalidated my boyfriend's feelings. And he goes, April, you talk all the time about how important it is to validate feelings, and you just invalidated mine so bad. Because he said something about how he was going to feel bad. And I go, you don't need to feel that way. And I say it now, I'm just cringe, cringe. And it's so true. Like, it's, and as much as I love talking about my feelings and how feelings are so important, the bias just, ugh, the conditioning. So I love hearing though that your group, a prerequisite is not to be a woman, because I had that misconception. And I'm glad you've shed some light on that. Goodness
Never a point of
gracious.
exclusion, right? Like, it's never a point of, like, I think with any groups that are minorities or whatever, the reason why we're bringing a group together is to have at least one thing in common. It's not to say that if you don't check these boxes, you're now excluded. And I think that's a lot of it, things there too, is that there, I don't believe in exclusion of anything. I think that we're all people and we can all do whatever we want to do as long as we believe it, to be something that we're passionate about. And so I don't think that right now it's supposed to silo people into, okay, what are you identifying as? Are you a woman or are you a man? Are you in tech or are you outside of tech? Like, all of these things that silos are not going to help us here. I think it's really coming together as the human race and saying, okay, what are the problems? What can we do to talk about them? That's step one, is really talking about them and realizing that these things bother us and the people around us can't be mind readers to try to figure out what's bothering us.
I wish I could read minds.
Really fun. I really like that superpower. Like, but I think it would be dangerous too, because what if someone read your mind and you're like, oh, now I can't think this way about people. And I mean, I guess I think that would be a lot more positivity if people could read minds, because if you thought that somebody could know what you're saying about them in your mind, you probably wouldn't say a lot of things about people.
Right. No, that, I feel like that would probably backfire on me. So I'm curious, given that your group is open to all people, and part of it is helping men or boys understand how they can be supporters, like, what do you tell somebody? Like, if a man comes in and asks, how can I support women in my own work? What are some biases that I should be looking out for? What would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing is listening, giving people a safe space to listen. That's step one. A lot of times, I don't find myself saying much in that group because I don't need to. I just want to hear other people's stories and just give them that space that makes them feel like they're important and they have that ability to speak and share and be who they are without somebody coming in and saying, this should, you should be this, you should be. I'm kind of against that word. Like I'm trying to remove it from my lexicon because should. I've done so many things because I should be that. Or men may be doing some things because they heard that women should be this way, or men should be this way, or you know. And so I think that would be the first thing is listening. The second thing is just be nice and smile. I know it sounds very easy, and it sounds like we should not be mentioning this, but a lot of times, men, women, whatever, they just need people to be nice, to be less competitive. We're only competing against ourselves. We're not competing against each other. And I found that especially with women too, I found that a lot of times because there's a smaller pool of us, we often find ourselves competing against somebody internally. We should be advocating for each other. As long as one of us gets it, this is going to be amazing. This is still a great step in the right direction. So I would say, smile more and just be open to just being nice. And I think that that's something that anybody can do. It doesn't matter where you come from and what you know. And finally, and this has helped me, mention people when they're not there. Like if somebody comes in regardless and they understand like, hey, I know this is an issue. Be an advocate for people, but don't do it only when that person's in the room or anything like that. Do it when they're not in the room. And I mean, that's how I got my role as co-lead. Like somebody reached the person that was running this group before me, wanted to move on to doing other things in her life. And she was like, she mentioned my name when I wasn't in the room, and here we are. And so things like that, where you just can say, somebody's doing awesome things, say, hey, yeah, I talked to April the other day and she's awesome. You should connect with her. That little thing allows you to bring somebody else up. And if we each do that to one person and that one person does it to somebody else, you can impact hundreds of thousands of lives that way.
So true. I'm so curious what you would say to something that I've experienced, and I think some of my peers have experienced this as well, is that throughout our career, we've run across women leaders who have this perspective of, well, I had to do this and I had to work this hard and I had to deal with all this bullshit, for lack of a better word. So you kind of just need to fall in line, like you need to pay your dues as a woman too. That to me doesn't resonate.
I can see that, and I've definitely run into that in my paths. But first thing I would say is thank you. Anybody that's gone through anything of that to help anybody that comes after them, thank you. That's maybe one thing I don't have to prioritize. That's one thing I don't have to experience. But I also think that everyone's path is different. And so if you're in, step three, and I'm still on step one, does that make me less valuable to skip step two because you've already paved it, or I've done it, maybe I went to a different step? I think that there's no set criteria. It's not like a project where you're like, okay, here's a timeline, here's a milestone. Now you can move on to the next thing. I think working with that person and understanding like what was their path and how does mine kind of differ, and explain to them that, yes, you are the leader here, and I would love to follow you. Here are some things that I've maybe learned that could help you kind of in the future, and really making it be a give back situation. I that's how I would approach it. It is disheartening to hear that kind of stuff when you're like, well, why should I, or why shouldn't I, and things like that. But I think for me, it's just some people are going to feel the way that they feel, and people are people, but meeting people where they're at is very important. And I think if we did that a little bit more, we would understand that that person probably has a wall up, or they're probably nervous, or they're probably scared that you're going to come for them and take their role because they see that you're way ahead of where they were in their journey. And I don't think it has to be that way. Like, I think it could be both.
Both and both and. I appreciate the insight too of appreciating that they did pave a path, whether they think like you should suffer in ways that they had to suffer or not. I think that like I'm always trying to look for the positive spin or the positive side of something. And it is true. It's like regardless of if we share the same mindset now, they did have to go through things that were much more difficult than what I experience in today's world. And I can be grateful that like they persevered through that. And I think they did make it easier for some of us. And that's something like it's just giving me new perspective, which is nice to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'd
Thank
be
you.
surprised at how many people just want a thank you or a validation that their journey has been tough. And I think that goes a long way with just building rapport with people, is understanding that, and I heard something a while ago that kind of changed my perspective on this, is that if you were in their shoes and you were the same person where it went through the exact same thing, how they were raised, all the events that happened to them, all the de decisions that you made, you would be exactly where they are. There is no like deviation of that. So you can't say, oh, I wouldn't have done it that way, or I wouldn't be this type of person, because series of events, that's how it would work, is that if they're doing the best they can with what they've been through, and who are you to say, no, they're not? Like, we don't have that ability. And I think that's kind of what changed my mindset about that, about judging people less and also not making judgments before I actually get to know somebody.
Yeah, so helpful. I love this. I'm so glad we could spend our Saturday hanging out.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is there anything else that you'd like to leave the audience with?
I would say the one thing is believe in yourself. I've gone through this journey of, it happened with COVID, where I was somebody that was always anxious. I always felt like I was different, whether it be coming from a different background or being into different things growing up. I always felt a little bit just weird. And what I learned about myself in starting this journey is mindset matters so much. And that, and the quote that I was going to share was, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And it's like this, and this is kind of where all that starts. And so I would just say, believe in yourself first, because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you for you. And self-confidence, the inner self-confidence, is what we can all start to focus on, and we should all start to focus on, because that's the confidence that you have about what you've accomplished, who you are, when you don't get the praise from the outside that you're looking for. And so many people oftentimes will, myself included, will post things, or they'll celebrate things, and then they'll be disheartened when the people that they're really looking for a great job attaboy from don't say that, and they sulk, and then they and then so that's kind of where the inner self-confidence comes in and says, oh, you know what? I know what I like. I know what I can do. I know what I want to accomplish. And regardless of if I get great job or praise or anything like that, I know that I did that. And I think that's what we can all focus on as people, is just really building ourselves up. And then that way we can build everybody else up with us.
What's this? I think my new favorite quote is rising tides lift all ships.
Absolutely.
Just
Absolutely.
working on this abundance mindset of like exactly how you were saying earlier of competing. It's like we don't need to compete against each other. We can work in partnership and we can all rise up from it.
Yeah, I mean, there's millions of people in the world. Why, like, there's going to be somebody better than you. Instead of wondering why they're better than you, either get better or understand what they're doing that you're not, so you can be better too. Like it's a different way of looking at it. But I think it helps me a lot, especially going through kind of my journey.
I laugh when you said your quote because someone else on this podcast, this is also their favorite quote. And I can't remember now
Really?
off the top of my head who it was, but it was someone else's favorite quote too. And I really appreciate that. But I think it's I for me it's true. Like I think mindset is it's changed my life. I think I don't know who is the author of this quote, like change your mind, change your life, something like this. I definitely didn't come up with that. But it really speaks to me.
And I'm definitely the poster child of that. Like, I was not this person pre-2020. Like, I was not this person. I had to put in a lot of effort to understand mindset and understand that your brain is your biggest muscle, and most people just ignore it when it's screaming out, like, hey, I need attention, I need sustenance, I need something. And most people just ignore it because it's easier. But if you actually take the time, even if it's 5, 10 minutes a day, to discover, like, who am I? Why am I like this? And then kind of craft, like, your goals off that, you'd be surprised at how well your mind can react to that.
Oh, I have been surprised, but I've also seen it. I've seen it firsthand, with myself, not to mention others, but yeah, it's powerful. Ooh, love. So if we have any listeners that want to learn more about you, or maybe get in touch about your group, where can they find you?
So I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I think it's a great place to get to know people. So that's if you want to get to know me. If you want to join the group, we do both online and in-person meetings. So if you're not in the Akron, Ohio area, you're more than welcome to still join us virtually. And then finally, for anybody that's kind of getting this started in the Trailblazer community, there's an amazing program. Right now, they're doing mentorship opportunities. So if it's a mentee looking for a mentor or vice versa, Talent Stacker has a free mentorship program. That I think has been amazing because anytime you can find a free mentor that's willing to work with you, that goes back to the point is like that saves you so many learnings, so many failures, and you can really focus on the things that are important to you. So those are kind of my three places that if you want to find me, if you want to see more of the group, and then if you want to get your own resources, it's the best places to start.
Well, thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much. It's been such a great time to, spend my morning with you on Saturday.
Me too, me too.